Hey everyone, it's CJ here once again, and welcome back to another Spoiler TV podcast. This is podcast 38. It's just me and Adam this week, and we are talking about the season finale of Person of Interest, the final ever episode of House, and the season finale of Glee. We also discuss our thoughts on the latest episode of Game of Thrones. We are also continuing the really popular weekly topic, and this week it is, what are the two best TV show cliffhangers? And we've got a lot of potentials. As always, you can find us on the Spoiler TV website. If you've got any comments or feedback, please feel free to leave it and get joined in on the weekly topic. You can email us at podcast@spoilertv.com. You can even tweet us at @stv_podcast. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/stvpodcast. And of course, subscribe via iTunes to get the podcast as soon as it's released. But for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, as you can hear via my voice, I am not the ODI, I am CJ. Unfortunately, the ODI is not here with us this week, which is entirely my fault. I was ill when we were meant to record, so sorry the ODI, but we will get him back next week. However, I am joined by my fellow yoke here and partner in crime, Adam. Hey Adam.
Hey, hello, good to be here.
Yeah, I'm all better now, so we can do it on UK time instead of 2 o'clock in the morning, which is great.
Yeah. It feels quite refreshing to be so awake while I'm talking about TV shows, to be honest.
I'm not used to having daylight outside while I'm doing it. It's really weird.
It is. I agree. I'm usually finding a little corner in the house where I don't wake up people.
I'm the same, because usually I'm sat downstairs in the living room and my girlfriend and daughter can hear them rustling about when I'm talking, but tonight it's fine. There's no problems. I've locked myself in the bedroom, and I can talk as loud as I want.
So if we hear you suddenly just start shouting, we know why. You've got the freedom to do so.
Oh, yes, but I don't know if I'm going to shout, unless I get excited about Person of Interest, but we'll get to that in the future. Yeah. But as usual, just to remind everyone, don't forget, you can subscribe via iTunes if you want to get the podcast straight away. You can tweet us, you can email us at podcast@spoilertv.com. All the details are on the site. And yeah, let's just get straight into it. So we usually start off with site news, and obviously Adam's just started a new thing, and I'll let him explain that himself.
Well, if you've obviously been on the site for a while, you'll know that we've run the summer competitions where we do the TV show and the TV character competitions where you vote for your favourites, etc. The nomination stage just closed. It closed on Sunday, so I've still got to even start going through those results, but that's a job for tomorrow, so I'm going to do that, and it will be done probably by the time the podcast is out. So look out over the next few days for the list of 64 TV shows, which are in the final knockout stages, and then probably the start of next week you'll be able to get in your predictions for the competition, so you can predict who's going to win each round all the way to the final. And then if you do win the entire competition, predicting the most correct answers, you'll win a prize. I don't actually know exactly what the prize is yet, but it should be something pretty nice. You'll be able to buy yourself a DVD, I think. So that's pretty exciting. So just keep an eye out for that, and obviously we want you to spread the word, so tweet, Facebook, tell all your friends, all your fan friends of whatever Supernatural fringe, to come get involved, because it's a good fun thing for all the sites to get together and pass the time while most TV shows are off the air.
Yeah, was it last year that stars of like Supernatural and stuff were actually tweeting about it, or the CW?
Yeah, no,
tweeted.
Misha Collins tweeted us. He after he won, he won the character competition last year, largely because I think Supernatural fans were annoyed about his his leaving of the show. I know he's been back since. So they sort of rallied together and managed to get him to the top of the character competition, and he said he feels sorry for all the other fans of other shows because they don't stand a chance against his Castiel Angel followers, or whatever they're called.
Well, yeah, but obviously, if you're even tweeting celebs and they kind of retweet, you're just really helping your show win, and it also helps the site as well, promoting us. But it is really good fun trying to predict the shows, and there is usually a lot of shocks early on as well. I think the X-Files went out, was it last year they went out quite early?
Yeah. No, they did really well in our first year of running, and then last year they got eliminated quite early. Largely it's luck of the draw, you know, when you come up against shows like Lost and Game of Thrones is quite big, and Vampire Diaries and obviously Supernatural, you know, you can get some big shows going out, but it's up to the fans, you know. The fans just have to get together and, you know, create a Twitter account at 24fans, you know, at I Love Sheldon Cooper, and you get it all together, they all vote, and then you win the competition. So that's what we want. We want as many people to vote as we can, because it helps boost Spoiler TV's popularity, which will just in the end make our news and better for you. So
better prizes for the competition as well, so prizes. Everybody wins.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of buying just a DVD series, you never know, you might be able to upgrade to Blu-ray next year, who knows.
Hey, so. now you're talking.
Now I'm talking.
But as long as person of interest wins, that's all I care about.
Yeah, I don't know, I don't think it's got that big a following on Spoiler TV yet. I mean, I may be wrong, but we'll see. Person of interest, I don't even know if it's in the final 64 yet, so I can't
I'd be surprised if it wasn't, and if it isn't, I think you're going to have to make it 65 and just put it in the final, just for me. Let's just rig the results.
Rig the results, because that's not biased whatsoever. I'm opening my list now. I'm going to see if I can see it mentioned at any point. Yeah, I've seen it. It's definitely in there. There's a few nominations. I can see lots for Fringe. Castle's got quite a few. Game of Thrones. Person of Interest has popped up a couple of times.
Any of the new shows that have managed to pop in, do you think?
Once Upon a Time's looking quite good. Justified's got a few nominations, actually. Big Bang Theory's in there. Homeland's a new show, which may be able to sneak in. What else have we got? Sherlock, that's quite nice. A few for Sherlock. New Girl. So yeah, there's plenty of new shows in there. We've got lots of nominations for Chuck as well, and Friends.
Awesome.
House has got a few. Lost's got a few. Buffy. 24. So there's going to be quite a few big shows in there.
So it's going to be a very different competition to last year, because this season has had a lot of new shows, but a lot of strong new shows with a very big popularity.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I think shows like Supernatural probably are getting towards the end of their run. You know, fans are going to have to start moving on at some point. You know, they can't be Dean and Sam believers forever. And last year Fringe came mighty close to beating it. It was literally down to the final couple of hours where Fringe was overtaken, and everyone said, you know, Supernatural, nothing can stop it. But it very nearly was beaten.
I think Fringe might win it next year, because it might get the sympathy vote, because everyone's sad it's gone. But that's a year's time, though, but yeah, you never know.
It's going to depend on when Fringe finishes as well, because if it finishes by Christmas, then people might have forgotten about it by the summer, whereas if it... Have they announced if it's aired in September or January yet?
I don't know if it's being announced yet. I need to check the actual upfronts and see when they're airing. I haven't actually had a chance to look at all the pilots and upfronts yet, so maybe that's something we could look at for next week's podcast. All of the new shows, when they're going to air, because I know a lot of shows have moved around, like Supernatural has moved from the dreaded Friday night, and I believe it's now Tuesday or Wednesday night with Arrow.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for Supernatural, because a lot of fans are saying, oh, it's great news, but for shows 8 years into their run, they don't pick up a lot of new fans, and so, you know, if it doesn't, it has to perform a lot better on a Wednesday to be considered a success, so it's going to be interesting to see how Supernatural holds up, I think.
Yeah. So for other site news as well, let's move on, otherwise we could talk about this for hours. I know what me and Adam are like.
Yeah.
There's a few other things worth mentioning on the site. One of them is we have a Premier's Dates calendar, which you can actually embed or download, which I think is pretty cool. So it tells you when all of the Premier episodes for the 2012-2013 season, which
pretty
is going to be really good for planning in advance, because I know I'm dead without a TV calendar letting us know what episodes are on. If people have listened in the past, they know I've got a list of TV shows, and at the start of any season when new shows come on, my list is 20 long and plus. So it's a really good thing to get. We've just recently had a Stop Lurking Day. For those of you that don't know what that is, it's basically your chance just to leave a little comment, say hi, you know, and just start getting involved in the community, because Spoiler TV, our motto is for fans, by the fans, and we really are a big, friendly community, and even if you just say hi once, get yourselves involved. That's what we're all about here.
It's true. It's a big family on Spoiler TV. You know, it started with Lost and a huge amount of Lost fans coming together. When Lost ended, Dark UFO branched out, or he'd already started to branch out in anticipation for Lost finishing. And it's got the same mentality, you know, it's just that it's over 50 shows rather than one. And, you know, all we want to do is we want to just discuss the shows that we love, and get involved. You know, if people want to be spoiled, they can spoil themselves. If people want to just discuss what's gone in the last episode, you can do that too. You know, it's a very unique site, I think, in that way. So yeah, just come on and comment. You know, it's the simplest thing to sign in. I think you can even sign in via Twitter now, Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to register with Blogger or something you're not sure what it is. You know, you just one click, you're registered, and then you can say whatever you want to say, and people will comment. And
as long as it's nice, obviously.
Yeah, you don't want to feel the wrath of Dark UFO, because he's got the power to kick you out of the site for good. So.
Yeah, he has the ban hammer, and he will hit you over the head with it. I think that's the geeky term anyway. But talking about Dark UFO, Andy, I keep bugging him quite a lot to come on the podcast. I know he's probably listening right now, because I know he listened. I am going to get him on this podcast. I am going to drag him on, even if we've got to drive down south.
It's the last thing you do.
I will get him on at some point. Maybe we can convince him on our 50th podcast. He can't argue on the 50th.
What are we on now?
We are currently on number 38.
So, not long now.
So aiming for the 50th for the end of the year, I believe.
Yeah, well, I mean, about 50, that'll probably be around the start of the new TV series, won't it?
It will be indeed.
Perfect timing. So if you're hearing this, that UFO, we've got your number.
And finally, site news-wise, before we move on, we have a new banner competition. As you know, when you log onto the site, at the very top, there is a banner which is really well designed, which has The Walking Dead, Supernatural, Chuck, Castle. I think it's even got Fringe on, if I remember right, right at the very top. Every year we try to give you guys a chance to design the main default banner. As you know, you can actually change the site round, so the colours and the banner along the top. You can even add your own personal one. But the main banner that first appears when you log in, there is a competition to design that, and you can actually win $50. Well, a $50 voucher or something along those lines.
Yeah, no,
so it's really worth having a shot.
Amazon voucher it usually is, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. But it's brilliant, the submissions that are in already, you're talking there's like 20 or 30 submissions already. I'm just scrolling down them, and all of them are just so different and unique. It's amazing. It really is.
Pretty cool. Yeah, I'm looking through them now. I've not had a good chance to look through them, but there are some really good ones. Quite like that sort of smoky one. I don't know if you know, if you've seen that one.
I'm starting from the bottom and moving up.
It's the about 10 up, if you're looking. There's a nice smoky design.
One of them that's just caught my eyes is where it's kind of like different characters, and they've got a zip down with the faces split, which I think is quite interesting. I think that one would be quite cool, where you had a lot of different characters all along rather than just on the edges.
Yeah, but the one with Homeland, Good Wife, Supernatural, and
yeah,
Mr. Unknown. I don't know who that is.
And I think one of the ones... mind, when we're saying this, there could be more submissions, but I like the spoiler TV and what floors, the different heads dotted on as well. They're just the design that people do. There's so many talented people on this site. It's amazing. It really is.
It's true.
I dread to take yous on. I'm quite good with graphics, but even I'm dreading to even try it on with you guys.
I think probably a good tip would be that you need to be including more current shows and shows that are going to last the whole year. You know, you don't want to be putting something like Chuck right at the front because, you know, Chuck's finished. You know, we want new and exciting and funky shows to keep it fresh and current. So I think the winning one will probably be very relevant to what Spoiler TV is about and the big shows on the site. So that's just my little tip for you.
Well, my tip is as well, every so often we have a post saying the most popular shows on Spoiler TV. We do it at the end of every month. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you include some people from each of those shows, you might boost your chances of getting the votes. I'm just throwing that out there. But it makes sense. Supernatural will always kind of help. I don't think there's actually a banner without Supernatural on, to be honest. But yeah, you want the popular shows on Spoiler TV. You want a range as well. But like I said, all of them are absolutely brilliant. I'm not even going to bother entering because I haven't got a chance.
It is worth noting that we have no say in the winner of this. I don't think we have a say. Do we have a say?
I believe Andy Dark UFO is going to kind of submit it to the staff, the Spoiler TV kind of main staff, and we'll pick, say, the top 10 or 20, and then you guys can vote. I believe that's what it says on the actual competition page. So we will actually narrow down the list, but it'll be you guys that pick the winner. You will vote, and that whatever one gets the most votes, again, will end up at the top of the site.
It's true. For the fans, by the fans. That's what my Spoiler TV t-shirt says. So.
See, my Spoiler TV t-shirt is the podcast. That's how sad I am. But let's move on from site news.
You are being watched. The government has a secret system, a machine that spies on you every hour of every day. I know because I built it. I designed the machine to detect acts of terror, but it sees everything. Violent crimes involving ordinary people, people like you. Crimes the government considered irrelevant. They wouldn't act, so I decided I would. But I needed a partner, someone with the skills to intervene. Hunted by the authorities. We work in secret. You'll never find us. But victim or perpetrator, if your number's up, we'll find you.
So guys, we've moved on and we've decided that the first show we're going to talk about is my personal love affair with Jim Caviezel, Person of Interest. I know Adam has just recently watched the episode. I don't know how he waited so long. As soon as I got in from work, that was the first thing I watched. So I'll let Adam give his thoughts because his are fresh before I start swooning. So Adam, what did you think?
It's worth noting that I actually watched the last four episodes all in one go. I was four behind and I caught up in one go.
I don't know if you can hear me shaking my head right now in disapprovement.
Well, it was quite weird because whenever I watch Person of Interest, I go, why don't I watch this sooner? And then I find myself behind and asking myself the same question next time I get to it. But I thought it was really good. I think the last four or five or six episodes have been really strong. They've all sort of related to the grand mythology of the show. It didn't quite go where the way I was expecting. I kind of thought Elias's storyline was going to feature in that finale, but that was wrapped up earlier on. It took the root, I guess you could say.
Well, actually, come to think of it, we haven't really talked about the last three. We haven't talked about Reese's love affair and what actually happened with that girl. Right. We haven't spoke about, obviously, last week's, which was obviously him kind of helping this FBI agent that had found out about the machine, and obviously the finale. So what did you think about the one which was all about Reese and what had happened to him when he got taken away for, like, for work, and then obviously he found out what happened to his love?
Yeah, no, that was a really good episode. I think that was probably I want to say my favourite of the three, purely because it filled in so much that I wanted to know. I thought it was really quite a dark episode. It was well linked together, you know, this sort of Finch trying to hide the case from him. And constantly I was trying to work out why, and then he sort of filled in the blanks, and then I thought, oh, maybe, you know, he's the husband has killed, what's her name? I can't even remember. Jessica.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was kind of thinking, and then you still have to think some more, you know, it's like, what happened? Where does this go? How does it link together? You know, and it was a really nice twist at the end where you discovered that he wasn't killing these people. He was just shoving them in some back alley prison in Mexico where they stand no chance of getting out. I thought that was really nice because, you know, they took you one route with the character. You thought he had this real dark side where when he will kill you. And then they sort of flipped it on its head right at the end, and I didn't see it coming.
It was very smart, yeah. It's kind of like he still draws a line on what's acceptable. Even though this guy killed the woman he loves, he maybe realised it was kind of an accident, maybe he was beaten on things, but he didn't intend to kill her, and maybe he understood that, and he decided, well, I'm just going to make your life hell. I'm going to make you live out the rest of your life with that guilt, rather than letting him be at ease.
Yeah, exactly. And so just purely because I think the twists and the way the story was told in, I think it was called Many Happy Returns, because it was his birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I think that was the strongest of the final few episodes, and it worked really well, and it led into the final two episodes really well, because it gave you more about who, you know, John is, and it gave Jim Caviezel a lot to do, and I think he did it as well as Jim Caviezel can do. You know, I think he added a lot of depth to the character, and you know, a lot of people say he's quite wooden, he's quite one-dimensional. You know, I think you should go watch this episode and think about that statement. I think he deserves some credit for that.
Yeah, can you see him getting some award nominations in the future?
I don't think he will. I don't think he will. I think there's a general mentality that he's still got to shake off of this sort of, you know, he's not the most charismatic guy, and he isn't the most charismatic guy, and that probably would go against him in terms of awards. But I think when you watch this show, you'll be surprised and impressed with how good Jim Caviezel is, and so I think that's an award in and of itself, that he's picked himself up and he's raised the bar and he's done a great job.
Yeah, well, obviously I totally agree.
Yeah.
But going into the kind of second last episode, just to move on, obviously this was more a Finch kind of episode and his history with the machine, and obviously this poor FBI agent, and it kind of gives an insight of how the machine is informing people very subtly by putting names in a certain, like, agents' reports to kind of flag them, which I thought was a very interesting concept.
Yeah. No, I mean, because this episode was all about, is the machine good? Is the machine right? Is the people in charge of the machine good? And what the episode did is it created a very sort of interesting storyline that set up a whole host of questions for season two. You know, it left people in the darkness. You don't know who's doing what. You don't know where the machine is. You don't know exactly how it works. But this episode encompassed all that in one 40-minute section, and just it made you really think, I felt. You know, it didn't fill in all the storyline with Nathan, Finch's partner. I kind of thought we were going to see all that, but it didn't happen. It just left the whole thing sort of shrouded in mystery, but it was a really interesting and intense and quite, you know, surprisingly twisty episode. You know, I didn't see the machine coming until the fact that this guy was looking into the machine until about 5 seconds before Finch said it, and I was like, oh, that's awesome, that's really cool. So yeah, it was another good episode. What did you think?
Yeah, I like the idea of this contingency plan, how originally Finch hated the idea. And something, obviously we know something's happened which has totally flipped it on its head, but kind of relating it to the season finale, do you think it was the machine that contacted Finch by the end? So something's happened to Nathan, and then the machine's realised Nathan's not around anymore, and the machine has contacted Finch.
Could be. I mean, you know, that's something that they're obviously going to pursue, you know, this, because it quite surprised me that Finch's character literally was on a flip reversal. You know, it was Nathan that created this backdoor, not Finch. In my head, it was the other way around. So it was a really interesting route to take. And yeah, I'd probably agree with you. You know, this machine almost, well, it pretty much is self-aware, in a sense. And so it's surely going to play a big part in Finch's movement from being against a backdoor to being for a backdoor.
Yeah, but Finch obviously as well had a fiance who still seems to be kind of waiting for him on some sort of, like, inner level, even though she thinks he's dead. Yeah. She's kind of still waiting for him. And I think, and I might be wrong, but I believe the actress playing his fiance is actually Michael Emerson's real-life wife who's on True Blood.
That's quite cool.
And I'm not sure if it's definitely her, I haven't checked, but it looks like the same woman from True Blood, which I know is his real-life wife, and I've got a funny feeling she's actually going to be playing his fiancé, and it won't be the last time we see her as well.
Well, yeah, you know, it's a surefire way to make sure that she'll come back and do a few more episodes, you know. It's a good way of doing it. That's pretty cool. I mean, that was really interesting, because it gave Finch a whole... You know, Finch gained so many different dimensions and... intrigues in his character in this episode, so that was good. You know, I think that there's a lot now they've set up which is going to be interesting in season two, you know, because a lot of what they set up with Elias and Root, you know, I thought they were going to wrap up this season, but what they did is they brought it all together to a culmination, but it left so many doors and opportunities open for them still, and so that's one of person of interest main strengths, and that episode showed it.
Yeah, I think Reese had a bit more of respect for Finch, knowing he had this perfect life he was with the woman he loved, and he gave all of that up just to protect her. And yeah, Reese kind of respected them more in that sense.
Well, it's not just respect, you know, I think probably Reese sees himself, you know, he made these sacrifices, and he maybe didn't see that in Finch. He saw Finch more of a recluse, you know, a man that didn't need interaction, you know. It's not true now, you know. They both had a similar story where they had to lose the person they loved for one reason or another, and so it gives them more to connect on, I guess.
Yeah, so let's move on to the finale. Amy Acker, one of my favourite actresses from Angel and Dollhouse, and she was also in Happy Town, which I watched and then got cancelled, and then I gave up on watching the end. I wouldn't say I was surprised by the twist that she's Root. It was more the fact I was hoping that she would be Root. Because of the type of actress she is, she can kind of flip sane and crazy, like at the flick of her hat. And she's just an amazing actress. And I think when everyone heard she was a guest star, I think even in the comments, and I can't even remember if we mentioned this on the podcast, but we were hoping that she would be Root. And even if you were hoping that, I don't think it spoiled the episode. But obviously, again, because you've just recently watched it, what did you think?
Well, I mean, I don't know who this person is. So for me, it was a big surprise. And maybe the fact you knew her so well and you were all speculating on her being Root gave you more incentive to think maybe she was, and so ruined a little bit of the surprise. But for me, I was totally hooked on the fact that she was this psychologist. I was believing that the woman that she shot, Mrs. Recluse, was Root. And so when suddenly she got shot in the head, I was like, whoa, what's going on? And so for me, it was awesome. It was a really cool sort of surprise for the end of towards the end of the episode. But for me, the most exciting bit of the episode, for all the gun shooting and cleverly worked drama and action that they put into that episode, it was all about that final few seconds where Reese just looks up into the camera and says, you know, well, I can't remember what he said now. But whatever he said, that phone rang, and then I wanted to know who was...
Oh, it's something along the lines that I need you to help me now.
Yeah, yeah. You know, to try and get Finch back, essentially. And then that phone rang, and I was waiting to hear one word. You know, I was thinking, it's going to be Nathan, it's going to be somebody, and it's going to be Jessica, and then suddenly it cut out for the end of the season. I mean, what a way to end the season, and it just showed that you don't need a big bang at the end of a season to create a lot of suspense.
You just need a phone ringing.
Exactly, you just need a clever bit of payoff, you know.
But it got me thinking, imagine if Nathan is actually still alive and he's hooked up to the machine somehow.
But like source code. Maybe he is source code. He's have you seen Source Code?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
well, it's a very interesting film.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, I mean, I kind of get the feeling that the fact we haven't seen Nathan die in the whole of season one suggests he's still alive. And so it would be quite a cool thing to see him somewhere in some way linked to this machine, you know. But there's no necessity for it to be a person like that. It could be a person we've not seen before who has breached, you know, is this a person that's officially connected to the machine, or is it somebody that's unofficially connected to the machine? You know, there's lots of possibilities, and that's why they didn't even have a person speaking, so that people can't even speculate on gender or age, you know.
Is it going to be a computer voice? Or is it just going to... What's going to happen is the machine is going to give him some numbers, and he's going to search and find this person, and this person is going to help him find Finch.
That's a cool idea.
It's literally just going to go 4, 7, 9, 3, 2, and then just cut off, like in
it's
a computerized voice.
Iteration. And then it's going to go, and then Maggie Grace is going to pop up and translate the French, and it's going to be...
Finding Nemo.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that would be quite a cool idea, actually. Quite interesting first episode where he has to work out who this person of interest is on his own. Yeah, it's a good idea. Good theory.
Yeah, because obviously the first thing I thought was when the machine kind of came up with writing, it was kind of like contingency plan or something, in threat or yeah. Something like that, or what was it? It was something like...
breached, did it say something like that?
Yeah, it's kind of like jeopardized. Like, there's a word he kind of called... Finch, a certain thing, and when Reese spoke to the camera, it realised, oh, this list, the contingency plan, cannot go forward, and it's kind of like the computer's making its own decisions on how to move forward.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Maybe the machine's ruling the country now. The machine's too powerful.
It was also good to see back, and I can't remember her name, but see back the girl that I liked from American Gothic from years ago back as the kind of political...
Zoe.
It was good. I didn't expect to see her in the finale, and it was quite nice to see her back, and I'd actually like to see her more as maybe a series regular, because I think she's really cool.
Yeah, she adds a good... female perspective into more of Reese's life as well, you know. I think there's a little bit of a chemistry between them. And so now that they've confirmed Jessica's dead, they obviously do need to introduce some romance somewhere, so that could be an interesting angle for them to take. What did you make of Carter and Fusco finally revealing the fact that they both are working for the duo?
I think that's putting their characters in jeopardy. I think now that they know each other can do it, he doesn't need... As storytelling-wise, why would you have two cops where they're both working as the same team? Yes, it can kind of bring them together, but I think it's kind of, as a storytelling standpoint, it's going to make them kind of get in each other's way. And do we really need two cops working together, working with Reese and Finch?
Yeah, it's a good point, but, you know, I think that they could probably find a way to separate them. You know, maybe Fusco has to go undercover with someone else. You know, he's proved that he's good at this sort of undercover, in this undercover role.
See, they haven't really took down HR, and did the cop guy, did he actually escape?
Yeah, he looked escape, because they had a scene where he's, like, walking towards his police car, didn't they, I think?
Yeah, did he actually spot Fusco at one point? He looked across, but I don't know if he actually spotted him. They didn't make that entirely clear, as if he knows exactly Fusco's on the other side now and he's not part of HR, so it's leaving windows and doors open for the future of Season 2.
Mm-hmm. There's plenty, I mean, Season 2's got plenty of things to explore, you know, the Elias storyline, even though they wrapped it nicely up for Season 1, you know, it's still got plenty of places to go, you know. He's a man in power, even in the prison that he's in. They've now got Root. We know who Root is. She's actually a really interesting, fascinating character. She's more exciting than I thought she was going to be, because when I thought...
Just the risk she took, just to kind of get Finch, is just amazing. How she turned around this character into just, like, this crazy nuts genius is just brilliant. And I'm hoping that it isn't going to be one of those, she kind of gets killed off or captured in episode one when we return. I'd like it where she actually escapes, and she'd actually planned out this whole thing to the point where she can escape.
Mm.
And I'd like to see her more in season two as well, because I would really love Amy Acker.
What does she want Finch for then?
I think she wants access to the machine so she can find someone. I think she's actually after someone or trying to find something.
That's pretty cool. I don't know who, but I guess that's something that they can explore, you know. I don't think they needed to set that bit up this season. And I think they were better leaving her at the end of season one as a woman of mystery.
Did you think of the payoff with Reese and the car explosion? I thought that was just brilliant how he calmly says, "Oh, I'll owe you guys a drink." And then he just gets out the car and just walks off.
It was cool. It was a nice culmination of that. You know, it did look like he might have killed them, but...
Well, you know, they did shoot at him first.
It's true. Yeah, no, it was nice. You know, I think he's very dry and in his delivery of the lines. And I think that was a nice culmination of an entire season of very dry Reese lines. I think it was nice.
I think it's just kind of a bit of humour just before they kind of hit the whole, "Oh, crap. Finch is gone, now we have him talking to a machine."
Yeah, no, it worked. It's very good at balancing humour and drama, and it has some really good action. You know, it's got probably some of the best action that I've seen since 24 went off the air. So it's got plenty of stuff, and if you're not watching Person of Interest, admittedly we've just ruined the whole thing for you, well, whole of season one.
Well, I wouldn't say we have, you know, even if we're kind of revealing what's happening, I don't think it would actually spoil. You know, you always know the main characters are going to be in jeopardy, you know. Mm-hmm. We'd know Finewell Finch is going to come back and he's not going to die. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of all those things, but it's more the journey you take to get to those points and see how the characters react. And if you haven't watched Person of Interest, I really strongly suggest that you get caught up. And just so you guys know, I think that was it on your Facebook I saw that was starting on Channel 5 in the UK.
Yeah, July.
In July, so it's really worth checking out. It's probably my favourite show this season, and I'm hoping in a few weeks we'll actually have a debate where we talk about the best show. And obviously I'm kind of spoiling it in 3 weeks in advance, but this is going to be the one I'm going to be arguing with Adam in the ODI until I'm blue in the face.
Think you'll win, man? You know you'd never stand much of a chance in these debates.
I will on this one. You will not beat me with Person of Interest. But, like we said, Person of Interest, what an amazing first season. Absolutely brilliant. I think there's only been one episode where I've turned round and went, "That was crap."
Did you actually, which one was that?
You know, the one where they had that young lad going around with them and he's trying to avenge his brother?
Oh, yeah, you didn't like that one, did you?
No, I wasn't a fan of that one. But Fusco got shot, so you got to take the rough with the smooth, because I didn't like Fusco that much back then. But, as I've said, amazing first season. UK people, if you haven't, check it out. You will not regret it. I've introduced it to my family, and they've become hooked. It really is just one of those shows that you just really get connect with the characters. Not on a personal level, because I don't go around shooting people, but you do like that kind of dynamic.
Yeah, no, it's good. I mean, I'd probably have to say that if we're talking about best new show of this last season, I'd find it very hard to argue against Person of Interest. You know, it's not obviously going to be my favourite show of all time after one season, but it's been a really strong season, and even that episode that you were talking about, it's much more watchable than most of the stuff that's on TV. You know, it's a really impressive, intricate, clever, witty, dark, action-packed 40 minutes every week. And, you know, if season two is even a patch on what this first season's been, it's going to be essential watching for all of us, I'm sure. So, check it out, and yeah, it's on Channel 5 in July for all the UK listeners, so make sure you watch it.
Yeah, and obviously we'll speak to the ODI next week and get his opinions, but I've got a funny feeling he'll probably agree with us as well.
Yeah, I don't know whether I've spoken to him or seen a comment or something, but from what I recall, I've seen something of his thoughts, and he said it was really good. So that's his one word summary for this week, but we'll make sure we ask him about it next week when we've got him on it. Something interesting to note is that the finale was also written by Jonathan Nolan, who's Christopher Nolan's brother. And I know he's an executive producer, but he
didn't he write the premiere as well?
Yeah, he wrote the pilot episode, and then he came back and he wrote this one. I'm just scrolling through, and the only other one he's written... In fact, he also wrote the one which gave a bit on Reese's back history. He co-wrote that one. So it's nice to know that, you know, one of the big names behind this show, you know, this is the guy that also wrote The Dark Knight. You know, he's a really well-known screenwriter, and he's involved in this show. And he's writing some of the big episodes. So if that's not a good enough reason to start watching, then I don't know what is.
Yeah, and just ratings-wise, because I always like the kind of roundup, the person of interest ratings, it's actually been a very strong season for person of interest. You know, it's been really consistent. Just for example, the pilot episode ratings were 13.22. It kind of dropped, as all shows do, and then mid-season it picked up to about the 15 million mark, and it's kind of, again, dropped slightly, but it's actually pretty much finished on the same viewers as it started, on 13.3.
It's pretty good, you know, it's pretty solid, you know. I think it also went up from the penultimate episode to the final episode by a good million or so, didn't it? Or
yeah,
a good
pretty much, yeah.
It's always a good indication of how a show is doing, you know, how many people are interested in seeing whether they should tune back in for season two.
And they definitely should, without a doubt. And if you haven't, like we said, if you haven't watched it, check it out, take the summer time. And if you don't agree with us, we will refund you on zero. But, no, seriously, guys, though, check it out. It is probably one of the best shows, new shows, we should say, this season. Right, guys, so we are now on to Game of Thrones. As you know, I'm not the biggest fan of Game of Thrones, but I have, and I'll admit it, really been enjoying these past few episodes. Now, I'm one episode behind, but luckily Adam's seen the two more recent ones. But again, because I've been doing this so far, the podcast, Adam, I'll let you go first. And what are your thoughts on the recent two Game of Thrones episodes?
Well, I mean, the episode which you've not seen, I think, is a slight step back. I think it's very much a set-up episode for the big battle which we're getting next week. But I think it's been much stronger than the start of the season. I think one of the big pluses of the last couple of episodes has been that Jaime Lannister's back. I don't know if you missed him for the good five or so episodes that he was gone.
Do you know what the thing is, though? Because he hasn't been in it so long, and it's been so long since the first season of Game of Thrones, you've kind of forgot about him. Because I didn't rewatch season one of Game of Thrones. I usually do that with certain shows that I enjoy. And because I haven't rewatched Game of Thrones season one, I haven't really missed him that much. But because I've kind of forgot about him.
Did you know? But then when he came back in last week...
Oh, yeah, he's been brilliant in his speeches and, like, did he snap the guy's neck and then beat him up?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think it showed what a charismatic character he is. Interestingly enough, one of my friends who's read on in the books says that Jamie's character gets more interesting as the books go on, and when he starts getting his point of view chapters written, which I think starts in about book three or four... He's kind of a very sort of... His chapters have a lot more fun to them, a bit like a Tyrion chapter does. And you can kind of see where that's coming from in this last episode. You know, he's a very nasty character. He's much more evil than Tyrion is. But he's got a very dry, wicked sense of humour.
I think he's kind of like a survivalist. He'll do whatever he can to survive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, last week, you know, he made the few comments on that scary woman, Brienne. And he continues that in the scenes he gets in the latest episode. And they're pretty funny, even though, you know, it's quite, you know, nasty things that he's saying.
Because in the last episode I've seen, it ended on the cliffhanger that Lady Stark was going to kill him. I knew she's not going to. You know, it's obvious. I'm guessing he escapes and goes somewhere, or she hides him away from the angry mob, or...
Do you want me to tell you?
Go on, tell me.
Yeah. Essentially, she... Brienne, you know, the woman that's that said she'd protect Caitlin, she takes Jaime and that she's taking him off out of the way to, I think, where are they going? I'm pretty sure they're going back to King's Landing in hope of being able to exchange him for the daughters. That's the general impression of what they were going to do. But Rob's really pissed off about this when he finds out that Jamie's gone. So there's a bit of tension between him and his mum now, which was quite interesting. It's a new dynamic for them because Rob's been like, don't let her out of your sight to the guards. And so he's really pissed off with his mum.
Because it's kind of shown him up. He's meant to be the king of the north, but she's the boss of him.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one of the biggest problems the last two episodes have had is that both cliffhangers were really weak. You know, the last one, the one that she last saw, was when the douchebag Theon showed up, or showed that he'd killed the kids.
Yeah, which was obvious that they're obviously the, is it the farmer's sons that they mentioned?
Yeah,
it just
exactly.
Seemed, that scene where it's kind of, you see them walking across like, oh, they're the one who have the two sons that we used to play with, called such and such and such. It just kind of, I was sitting there going, yeah, they've kind of made it obvious, you know, a bit too obvious. If they hadn't had that scene going, oh, they've got the two sons in the farm. And then they showed that cliffhanger, it would have been kind of, oh my god, and then it could have been the next episode, and I don't know if they have mentioned this, they do mention that it is the farmer's sons. That would have been more of a cliffhanger.
Yeah, no, the big problem is that the end of the latest episode ends with the big shocker that they're still alive, and I think everyone that watches it sort of goes, that was pretty obvious. And so they kind of waste two episode cliffhangers with something that's not that shocking. And so that was a little disappointing.
Did you say they're back in Winterfell? Have they been captured or they're actually...
I can't really spoil it too much, but essentially they've come back to Winterfell and they're hiding, you know, like in the dungeons where all the Starks are buried.
Oh, yeah, that's where he had a vision of his father, isn't it? I wonder if they're going to do a vision of his father in there again, because they did tease that his father, Ned... It is Ned Stark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just shows you how much I love this TV show. But he did tease that he could be coming back in some sort of vision in the future in season 2. Maybe, with him being in that pit, he might have a vision of his father.
That would be pretty cool. But, yeah, it's true. Yeah, the philosophy that the woman that slept with Theon and then helped them escape, she said that the last place they'll look for them is right underneath their feet. So it's quite a cool thing that they're now hiding out back in Winterfell. I think the last two episodes have been strong, but I think they've had very good highs and some disappointing points, which I just mentioned with the cliffhangers letting them down. Also kind of disappointing was that the end of the episode that you've seen, we saw that Daenerys has to go to get the dragons back from the House of the Undying. And so it made sense that that's where we were going in the latest episode, but instead it was more sort of her preparing to go, and she's still not even gone yet, and I thought, come on.
Well, you guys were saying last week it's quite a big deal, her going to the House of Undying. Maybe they're keeping that for the next episode, which is the big battle, and this is going to be the kind of big wow episode. But that's the second last one, so are they kind of going to have, and I'm sure they did this last season as well, where they had the second last episode, this really big kind of wow episode, and then the finale was just kind of floating along.
Yeah. I mean all the big budget stuff's coming next week. I don't know if you've seen the promos yet, but there's like some big battles going on. Joffrey sort of worrying that he's not got enough men, sort of going...
As Joffrey does.
Yeah. But there's lots of, like, sword fights, arrows flying. It looks like it's going to be pretty exciting. It's written by the writer of the books. He's done the screenplay for the episode.
Awesome.
So, yeah, I think next week's going to be the one to watch. I don't really know where episode 10's going to take us. Obviously, if you've read the books, you'll know where we're headed. But I think probably the season 2 finale will be stronger than the season 1 finale, purely because if the battle's dealt with in episode 9, then it kind of gives them stuff like maybe Daenerys will go into the House of the Undying in the finale, maybe that's a good place to head to. So
for me personally, though, the scenes that I've been enjoying the most are Tywin and Arya. They've just been, I think I'm saying the name right, Arya. But I think those two, Maisie Williams, has just handled those scenes. You've got Charles Dance, you know, like an amazing actor, being in it for years and years and years. And then you've got Maisie Williams, who I think is pretty much brand new to the whole kind of acting TV scene. And she's actually stealing scenes away from him.
Yeah, no, it's impressive. She's really strong. And so you're going to be a little disappointed with what happens in the next episode, because they, well, it certainly implies that they're not going to be doing many scenes together.
No, that's disappointing. But then again, maybe it's too much of a good thing.
Yeah. Apparently, I've just gone on her Wikipedia page, and apparently HBO have submitted her for consideration as outstanding supporting actress. So I think she's definitely
deserved it. For her scenes have been the best ones to watch.
I know, really. So it'll be interesting to see how she does. She's only 15 years old. It's really impressive. And yeah, it's her first role. She hadn't done another role before she took this role on. So impressive stuff.
Yeah, she even stood out last year. She had some of her favourite scenes with her dance teacher, if you want to call it that. Yeah. And, you know, she's just an amazing actress. And I think maybe because of last season and they saw how popular she was, they've maybe kind of put her in more. I don't know what it's like in the books. I know I think she has a book just on her journey. I might be wrong, but just her as an actress, and just each episode, when you see it's her kind of scene with Tywin, you kind of sit up a little and go, oh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, I agree. They're really good. So it'll be nice to hopefully see them back together again in the future. But yeah, no, totally agree.
But as I've said, Game of Thrones isn't my most favourite of TV shows, but I'm starting to get into it again, a bit like I did in season one. I don't know if you remember, but towards the end, I was really getting into Game of Thrones, and then it finished.
Yeah.
And it's kind of happened again. I'm really getting into it, and then it's going to finish. The season seems too short. I know because of budget and they're telling like it's such a big story. It just doesn't seem to have enough episodes in a season.
Yeah. I mean, they're not going to change that. It's the HBO philosophy, isn't it? Less, but with more higher quality of scenes and budget and scripts and stuff. So.
But it doesn't feel like we've had 8 episodes.
No, I'd agree. You know, I don't. But apparently, the book is quite slow for the first 2/3. You know, there's not a huge amount for them to do, and they can only work with what they've got. And I think they've done a good job. You know, I think they're very good at making dialogue scenes very, very compelling to watch. And so, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they handle this big budget battle now.
Yeah, I haven't really mentioned, same we've been talking about Daenerys, and I haven't mentioned Jon Snow, but obviously those guys from the House of the Undying, they are freaky as hell.
I know, yeah.
And I'm really looking forward to how they can move that forward.
Yeah, I think Daenerys needs some character development. She spent the whole season sort of just going,
my dragons! Ooh, my dragons!
Exactly.
Ooh, where am I going to go? Ooh, my dragons!
So, yeah, I think she needs some development. Hopefully that'll happen. If not next week, then in the finale. You know, she was the star of last season's finale with sort of surviving the fire and the birth of the dragons, so perhaps that's where we're headed again this year.
And I'm also liking Jon Snow and his, would you call that bit squeeze? Or I don't know what you'd say about, but I'm really liking their dynamic as well, and this kind of banter back and forth. That's what I'm really getting into, and I say this every time when it comes to a TV show. If I don't like the characters, I don't like this show. And I love Arya, I love Jon Snow. They're just characters you want to know more about.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, every show hinges on having interesting characters. You know, look at Flash Forward. It had a really interesting concept, but it had characters that were, you know, not a patch on anything else on TV. They were annoying and moany and not interesting, and the show failed. You know, at the end of the day, if you're not invested in the people that you're watching on the screen, who cares what the story is?
So let's hope this big, massive war, what's it called? Is it Blackwater?
I believe Blackwater,
the Battle of Blackwater. From obviously what we've talked about, they've put extra money into the budget. It's a big battle. They're really promoting it right now with lots of promos and TV spots. This could be the award-winning episode, and let's hope it delivers on what it's promising.
Yeah, agreed. It needs to be. It needs to be big, and it needs to be good.
So guys, as you know, the TV season is slowly coming to an end, and talking about things coming to an end, one of Adam's favourite TV shows, which I haven't personally watched, but maybe now I've got the chance to, I might try and watch it from season one, which was House. So Adam, why don't you let us know how House ended? I have actually read the recap of the episode, because I had a funny feeling we might discuss it, so I do know what happens. So what did you think?
Are you telling me you've never seen an episode of House?
I've never seen an episode of House.
Oh my god. I didn't know there were people in the world that had never seen an episode.
It's funny, I don't do medical shows and I don't really do cop shows.
Right. Although it's great. Like, as we were talking about with Game of Thrones, when you've got a great character, it doesn't matter really necessarily with a TV series what the story's about. If you've got someone that's engrossing to watch and you want to see what happens to him, and that's what House was about. It had him and it had his group of people that were all really interesting to get to know, and it came to an end. I've watched it pretty much since the start. The first couple of seasons I was a bit more on and off, but
has
since
it had eight seasons?
Yeah. So yeah. I remember watching the pilot when it first aired on Channel 4 or 5 before Sky One bought it, and pretty much I think it was around the gap between 2 and 3. I'd seen bits of season 1 and 2, but I hadn't seen it all. And I bought the first two series. I watched them all in one go, and then I've watched weekly since season 3. So it's 6 to 8 years I've been watching this guy every week. So it's one of those big ones where I'm sad to see it go. And it was really good. It was a really nice ending. I know some people have said it was a bit of a cop out. They weren't too happy with it, but I just thought it was perfect. I quite like those endings where it doesn't wrap everything up, because with me, for a TV series is about being a part of someone's life. You know, you're with these characters for 6-7 years, whichever it is, with Lost, 24, and I like to think that it continues after I've finished watching, as long as it gives me enough and it answers the questions I've got and I know I can come up with an interpretation of where it's going in the future. I'm happy, and this is exactly what this did. They did. I mean, if you've read it, you know what happened. But they sort of did a bit of a Sherlock Holmes twist on it. You know, people have always said how House and Wilson were Holmes and Watson, and so.
Do you think they've done that on purpose then? Because they're kind of like a Holmes and Watson. They've kind of, and obviously, if you haven't seen the House finale and you don't want to know, I'd turn off for obviously the next 2-3 minutes because we will talk about it. But. Basically, and if I'm reading this right, House woke up, so a heroin addict in the previous episode, or in this episode, he goes to his house. Is he trying to get the drugs from the house, or?
No, but basically, essentially, it's not even necessarily important exactly why he's there, but the episode's told in sort of flicks forward and backwards. House also has hallucinations, so it's sort of, it's not one of those sort of linear storylines, but it starts with House in this building that's on fire. There's the patient that he was with is dead on the floor. He's died of a heroin overdose. And you learn as the episode goes on, as House, you see this guy that House is with in the burning building when he was a patient. And the dealing with it is that House doesn't... Wow. I can't talk, it's so complicated. basically, Wilson, House's friend, is dying of cancer, and so he's having a bit of one of his relapses, and this patient says to him that heroin helps the pain go away. And obviously, everyone knows, if you've watched House, that House also has physical pain in that he has muscle... he had muscle death in one of his legs, so he's
hence why he walks on a walking stick.
Exactly. And so basically the whole episode sort of revolves around the fact of, is House going to die? Is he going to kill himself? Does he want to live? He has these hallucinations when he's drugged on the cocaine, where he, nice chance for some of the characters who have left the series to come back and sort of play as his consciousness. People like Kuttner and Cameron and Amber and Stacey. So they all sort of, all these people came back to play as parts of his consciousness. And he makes the decision that he's going to live, and then suddenly the building collapses on him, or it seems the building collapses on him. He blows up. He looks like he's died in a fire. Wilson obviously can't believe this. You know, he can't believe that House has been so selfish as to let himself be killed when he's only got 5 months left to live. But as it turns out, in fact, I've missed a bit out. House is also going to prison. I don't know if you'd known that bit, but he was...
No.
Right. Because basically he'd been to prison and he broke his parole in the previous episode, and so he had to go back to prison for 6 months. Wilson only had 5 months to live. So he wouldn't be able to spend the time he wanted to with his friend. But House essentially cheats death by making everyone think that he's died. And as Wilson's delivering his eulogy, where he's saying, I can't believe how selfish House was for leaving me, he gets a text which says, shut up, you idiot. And then Wilson leaves. He finds House. House is still alive. And it means that House doesn't have to go to prison. He can spend the time that Wilson's got left with him. And they basically ride off into the sunset on their motorbikes to live their lives, and it's just a really nice ending. House finally sort of does something that's not for his best interests. You know, he's given up his career. He's pretended that he's been killed so that he can spend his time with his friend, who's, you know, the only person he's got left in his life. So it was nice. It's a nice ending. I know some people were disappointed that Cuddy didn't come back, and I know some people thought it was not the ending they were expecting, but I just thought it was really well made.
With me not watching House, and I know little bits from what you've talked about and what I read, it does actually sound like a kind of nice sort of finishing up episode where past cast have come back and made a little appearance, and it does actually sound like a good kind of final ever episode. And again, not to spoil it, but in a few weeks' time, this shows you how much I plan in advance, we will be talking about what is the best ever series finale.
Series finale.
That will be in a few weeks. Now, just to get, I don't usually reveal it in advance, but next week we'll be talking about the best season finale once all the shows have finished, and then probably the week after, we will be talking about the best series finale.
So there's going to be a big Lost debate, I get the impression.
Maybe. It all depends on how much you enjoyed the Lost finale.
I kind of get the impression that all three of us probably enjoyed it more than most people. Maybe we need to find someone that hated it.
I don't think it'll be that tough. If you hated the Lost finale, don't email me. Email Adam. You can bug his spam box.
No, yeah. I mean, there are lots of people at work. I have this debate, not often, but occasionally. People say, oh, Lost was good, but I hated that ending. And it badges me, because then when I ask them why, they give answers where I just feel, oh, you're looking at the show far too one-dimensionally. But we can save that for a couple of weeks. I won't start
it. I think we've already ranted long enough in this podcast, and I haven't got to the final section yet. And obviously, because we're talking about finales, Glee just last night had its season finale. I nearly said series finale. Don't worry, guys. But season finale, where the main kind of cast were graduating. And it was quite a sad episode. I quite like Glee. Obviously, its ratings aren't as good as what it's been. People haven't been too impressed with the first half of the season, but it's got more back into its rhythm in the second half. But it was interesting because it had a few twists in that you didn't see coming. Finn and... God, it shows how much I watch it. I keep forgetting names. I'm terrible for names. But in Kurt... aren't going to New York. Finn and Rachel broke up, and Rachel is the only one that's kind of going to New York. Evan Quinn and Santana, two others, we didn't really see being there. So it was a very interesting finale, and it does kind of lend itself to how the seniors who've graduated could come back in the next series. Now, I've been reading a few interviews, and all of the regulars from this season are going to be in Glee next season, but they may not be in every single episode, though.
So they broke up again? Because I'm sure that they break up and get back together like every week, isn't that just like...
Because Finn loves her so much, he doesn't want her to stay with him, because he was meant to go to New York with her. Yeah. He didn't get to go to New York because he didn't get into his college, and she was going to stay with him rather than live out her dream. So he told her to go, forget about me, and live your dream.
Right. One of those nice, cheesy reasons. But
I love you so much, I want the breakup. Really? If you loved her that much, you wouldn't want to, but, you know, I don't know. It's TV show land. What can I say? But it's set it up nicely for season 4, and it does kind of get you interested in how it's going to move forward. But one of the funniest scenes in the whole episode, obviously, you know Kurt's dad? Biggish guy, bald head.
No, I don't watch the show.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen it, but basically he kind of did a scene from season 1 where he actually did Put a Ring on It by Beyonce, so his dad was actually doing the dance, which I thought was actually quite a funny scene. And Kurt's dad is one of those characters who appears in it every so often, but you know, one of those characters you really connect to? He was one of those characters, and just that scene was just brilliant. It really was.
So, how's season 3 been as a whole? Because I heard negative things about...
First half, it just didn't kind of connect, and it's lost viewers because of it. But the second half, they've kind of looked at what worked, what hasn't, and they've went back to basics, and it really picked up. The past two episodes, well, technically three, because it was a two-hour special last week, have been really, really good. They really have.
Good stuff. So you're going to be checking back in for next season?
I'll be back for season 4, and I think a lot of people, because of the way the past three episodes have been, I think a lot of people will come back as well.
That's good news. Good news for Glee fans. Going to be interesting to see how they all come back in, I guess, all these characters that have graduated.
Yeah, just don't stop believing. You know, it can go back. It's been a while since I've done a pun.
I think you've literally gone over an hour. I don't think you've done a pun yet this episode.
No, I haven't. I don't know what's wrong with me. No. I must be better when I'm half asleep.
No, well, I think the problem is that usually the ODI is doing the main hosting bit, and so you have the time to think up these puns, whereas today you've had less time.
And don't worry, guys, he will be back next week. It'll be a lot more structured and a lot more kind of less ranting.
Yeah, but with more puns. So.
With more puns, so look forward to the puns, people.
Yeah. With every pro, there is a con.
And on that note, let's move on. Yep. Okay, guys, we are up to the final part of the podcast, you'll all be glad to know, because me and Adam have totally ranted, and I don't think we've actually said any relevant comments yet. I don't know about you.
We've said any relevant... On what?
Just anything. We've actually said anything relevant.
Anything relevant. So people have wasted an hour and 20 minutes of their life.
Yeah, if there's any first-time listeners, I promise we're not usually this bad, or if you're really enjoying the podcast, we are always this bad, so keep listening. But no, we're up to the really popular part of the podcast, which is our weekly topic, and this week it is our debate on what are the two best ever cliffhangers. Now, one thing I should point out is it doesn't necessarily have to be a finale cliffhanger. It could be just a normal episode cliffhanger. And I've had a week to think about this, and even I'm struggling to think about it. And Adam's only known for a few days, so God help Adam.
A few days? I'm pretty sure you sent me that email about an hour and a half ago.
Then it doesn't sound like it's prepared. No, I did actually email you all at the weekend with it, but you just, as usual, didn't read it.
Yeah, it's my fault.
So, as I've said, the two best cliffhangers. Now, I've got a list in front of me because I'm sad and I was trying to think all of them.
I'll do your list then. Let's do your list first while I just have a final thing.
So, the best ever cliffhanger. We've got to throw out there the one that Lost. People joke it's about. Lost, no, it isn't. JR being shot.
Who?
JR from Dallas.
Did you watch Dallas?
Actually, I did.
Right.
This is how sad. I used to watch it with my gran.
All right, well, it's a crazy cliffhanger, man. I'm pretty sure it's the demographic that all our spoiler TV fans are.
Well, if you think, if all cliffhangers, if you had a T-shirt with "I shot JR," most people would get that joke. How many cliffhangers in the world would actually have that sort of joke?
Yeah, I guess.
One of my other favourite ones isn't a finale cliffhanger. It was Scully being abducted in the X-Files.
That's probably a popular one.
I've got an Office one. Can you guess what the Office one is?
An Office cliffhanger?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Office isn't known for its cliffhangers. Is it something like, will Jim and Pam get together?
It's close. It's when they kissed at the end of the season, and then it ended.
Yeah, no, I do remember the one. Was that like end of season two? Or
it was Casino Night. One of my all-time favourite episodes of The Office.
Season two. Written by Steve Carell, that one.
Yes, it was. I've got a 24 one.
Oh, all right. Can I guess?
Go on, then.
Is it when Jack gets kidnapped by the Chinese?
Yes, it was indeed. Yeah, I knew that would be on your list. I've also put in a little note saying when his wife got killed at the end of season one.
Yeah, but it kind of wasn't cliffhanger. It was kind of just deadbeat because she was already dead.
A deadhanger, yeah.
Yeah.
But they did film two endings for that, though. One where she lived and one where she died.
Yeah, I know. I've seen I'm glad they went with the dead one because I couldn't have stood another season with her around. Jesus.
If that was the case, Jack probably would have shot on the first episode.
Jack would have shot himself, to be honest.
I've got a Friends one.
Friends, is it the wedding?
It is the wedding where Ross sees Rachel instead of Emily. I think a lot of people really like that one. Another UK show, Sherlock.
No, good ending. Good choice.
The pool scene.
Are you going for the pool?
I'm going for the pool. Well, we knew Sherlock was going to die because of the name of the episode.
Yeah, but the big cliffhanger is how did he survive? And I think that was kind of bigger than will he blow up, because I knew he wasn't going to blow up.
Yeah, but it's kind of like that kind of scene at the end and how they're going to get out of it was just kind of something you weren't expecting, where he was going to be alive at the end of the episode.
I agree, I didn't expect the Bee Gees to be the key to survival.
Yeah, it's amazing. For Supernatural fans, one of my personal favourite cliffhangers was actually Dean ending up in hell.
I've seen that bit. I agree, that was a good cliffhanger.
I forget you used to watch the previous seasons. I don't think you're up to date for now.
I used to watch. I've been catching up, but I've been on about a 6-month sabbatical. I'm somewhere in the middle of season 5 at the minute. Which I'm pretty sure all Supernatural fans will shout at me about, because how could I finish so close to the end of the original story?
Because I've personally said, and again, nothing against Supernatural fans, I think it should have ended at season 5, because I thought the story just hit that perfect position. I'm all about story and characters more than the continuing, and I'll get into that rant in another podcast about series endings. But but the Dean in Hell was a big thing. And did you watch Smallville?
No, I've stayed well clear of that, and I'm pretty sure it was a wise move.
Now, the ODI would probably back me up on this, but the season 3 finale, when Clark disappears, Jonathan Kent could be dead in the cave, Lionel's in prison getting his hair shaved off, Alison Max, Chloe was blown up in a building, but she wasn't, and it just had Mozart playing over all of these scenes, and I just thought it was an amazing ending to a season, and a really good cliffhanger.
So you haven't got a single Lost cliffhanger, then?
Oh, yes, sorry, I thought Lost goes without saying. Season 3, we have to go back, Kate, we have to go back.
So you'd pick that one over The Hatch?
Yes, I don't think The Hatch was... Oh, wow, they've opened The Hatch. We've knew about The Hatch for half a season. How's it blown up the lid? Yeah, but that's not the cliffhanger.
It kind of is. What's in it?
We've been thinking about that for weeks and weeks. What's in the hatch? Not just because they blew the lid open, what's in the hatch? We're thinking what was in the hatch for weeks and weeks.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'd probably, in fairness, I'm just arguing devil's advocate, I'd agree that the season 3 finale was probably the best finale of the
entire series.
Yeah.
I think a close second would be the Lost Sign Gone White.
I was not a big fan of the end of season 5. I think that was probably my least favourite part, although I did like the Lost, it did go white, I did like that bit.
Yeah, I think more people are excited by the fact it went white than it was...
Everyone thought it had meaning, as Lost fans obviously would do. But no, it was just for a nice effect.
But the flash forward, it turns out it's a flash forward. What bigger kind of cliffhanger can you get than that?
Yeah, no, I'd agree. Although some people would disagree with the fact of what the flash forwards were, if it was any good.
Yeah, and also a lot of people had read the spoilers on Dark UFO in advance of the episode and regretted it after.
Yeah, I think I was one of those people.
I was also one of those people, but I still kept reading the spoilers anyway.
No, so did I. couldn't help myself.
So what's your list? I know 24 is going to appear in it, and I'm sure there's going to be House in there at some point as well.
Yeah, well, I'll put 24. I was going to say the kidnapping by the Chinese, but if I had to pick another one, I'd probably pick maybe, you know, like David Palmer's getting poisoned with on his hand, and he collapsed, and then it ended with the heartbeat. I know they didn't come back, they didn't like deal with that cliffhanger straight away in season 3, which surprised and probably disappointed a few people, but at the time it was a nice cliffhanger.
Did you hear about how they filmed that scene?
No.
They had, what happened is, and sorry to go off the topic people again, it's the rant cast this week, but what they did, and I thought this is very clever by the 24 writers, is to stop the ending getting leaked, because in the scene he's walking down a big massive crowd full of extras, mm-hmm. and they knew somebody would put online that David Palmer's killed at the end. Yeah. And the kind of save it, what they did is, they filmed it very carefully where he walks down and he collapses in front of the car, and then they filmed him getting up and saying, "I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay," in front of the extras, and all they did was they cut the him getting up part, so it was the cliffhanger, so people didn't go about reporting David Palmer falls over, then gets up. No one wants to know about that.
Yeah.
So they kind of did that very, very smartly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Did not know that. That's cool. Other cliffhangers. Fringe has got to have had a few. You know, the Where's Peter? That was quite
Of course. How could we forget that? Because we ranted on about that one for 5 weeks.
Yeah. As controversial as it was, and whether the payoff was as good as it should have been, there's no denying that no one knew, no one saw that coming. And when it happened, everyone was really surprised. You know, I think they really did that one well. So I'd have to put that up there. I know you never watched ER, but ER had a cracking cliffhanger once where basically Abby collapses pregnant and Kovac is tied up in the next room. I won't explain why he's tied up, but there was a big shooting at the hospital and he was held hostage for a while, and he just sees his wife as she collapses in the room next door, and you don't know whether she's died, the baby's died and stuff, and that was a really epic cliffhanger. Something a bit different. You know, I think we've covered a lot of the main ones, you know.
The TV shows obviously have cliffhangers, but there's ones that, like, you know, a character, are they like the main character of a show, is he going to live or die? You know, it's kind of... Yeah, you know they're coming back. Like I said, Dean in Supernatural, he was in hell. Yes, obviously I know he's going to come back, but I wasn't actually expecting him to go to hell. And that's the thing, it's the kind of, wow, did that actually happen?
Yeah. It's House at the end of season 4 had a two-parter called House's Head and Wilson's Heart. And House's Head had a nice cliffhanger where you learned that Amber was the one that he was trying to remember who was hurt and who was dying. And so it was kind of like, Jesus, where is she? Is she going to live? What's happened? And so that two-parter had a nice cliffhanger in the middle of them.
Terra Nova, I think, had a really good cliffhanger. Turns out that actually had a storyline at one point, which I just couldn't believe. Right in the very final scenes, they had this whole storyline that just appeared from nowhere.
What about the cliffhanger, will Terra Nova get cancelled? I think it had a very nice conclusion. I think most fans were very pleased with the way they resolved that cliffhanger. Has Awake finished yet? I don't know.
Actually, when you guys are getting this podcast, it'll be we're recording this on the Wednesday, and I'm hoping to have the podcast out on the Wednesday, or at least on the Thursday. It'll be the Awake finale, and obviously we're going to be talking about that a lot, because I haven't talked about the past few episodes, because all TV shows are finished, we want to kind of give a good, proper roundup.
Yeah, so I'll catch up on that. This week I was catching up on Person of Interest. Woe is me, I really shouldn't have been so far behind.
Oh, we're kind of forgetting quite an important cliffhanger. We'll talk about this as being one of the best episodes. It won lots of Spoiler TV podcast awards. Ned Stark getting his head chopped off.
Would you call it a cliffhanger? I wasn't wondering if he was alive or not. It was kind of more just like a shit. A shocker.
Well, it did have you thinking, where can they go from here?
Yeah, I guess. How can the series survive without Sean Bean? How can it survive without its leading man? I guess so.
So, what do you think are the best two? Now, this is the tough part.
Yeah. I'd have to give Lost Season 3 finale one spot.
Yeah, I think we're both in agreement. The Lost Season 3 ending, like, cliffhanger is definitely one of the best, even though it was spoiled for us, because we're spoiler junkies, obviously. But it's still, even when I read it, it was kind of WTF. Yeah. Oh my god. But what is the second one? I'm kind of stuck between two, to be honest.
Which two?
Scully being abducted, because I was a big X-File, and I kind of like the Sherlock pool scene.
I'd probably be more inclined to Sherlock, but I'd be more inclined to this Sherlock end of season two. Could we give the second point to just Sherlock in general?
No, because we have to pick the cliffhanger, because I don't think Sherlock being alive is much of a cliffhanger, because if you knew about the books, you knew he was going to be alive.
Yeah, but how did he survive? That was the cliffhanger in my book.
Yeah. I don't know, I think the pool scene was just something you weren't expecting.
Go on, let's give it to the pool scene, then I'll let you have this one, seeing as the ODI is not here.
Do you know, the ODI is going to be so disappointed in you next week. You gave in to me.
I'll tell you what, let's make this a test. Let's see if the ODI actually listens to this podcast this week. What we'll do is we'll next week we'll pretend that I won again, and we'll see if he comments, and then we can try and catch him out.
Yeah, that sounds good, and if you... we'll see if we can catch him out. Actually, wouldn't that be bad, saying even our own hosts don't listen to the podcast? We're shooting ourselves in the foot. So next week, guys, you're going to find out if we're shooting ourselves in the foot or not.
I tell you what, that is one hell of a cliffhanger.
That is a cliffhanger, and what a way to end this week's podcast. Will the ODI listen to our own podcast that he helps host next week?
Co-creator of the podcast.
Indeed. So, what a way to end this podcast. I don't know about you guys, but I'm actually really excited.
I'm excited. I think this may take our second spot.
Yeah. And please don't mention it in the comments, because he does read it, so keep it as our secret. Shh. And you know what the thing is, though? We'll probably even forget about it next week.
Anticlimactic cliffhanger ever.
So, guys, we will round it off here. We apologise for ranting at you for nearly 2 hours. We hope you enjoyed it. Thank you again to everyone that's been listening since the get-go. And thank you to all those new listeners. Remember, you can contact us in the comments section on the Spoiler TV website. We welcome the idea of what cliffhangers you think. So please get posting. You can contact us via email at podcast@spoilertv.com. You can contact us via Twitter at @STV_podcast. Last week also, just to quickly throw it in, I was requesting for some Castle fans and Supernatural fans to contact me to maybe discuss the current seasons. I've already got a few people emailing me, and there's still some positions open, because I'd like a big group of us to discuss it. But we'll finish here on the cliffhanger of will the ODI actually listen to the podcast this week. But as usual, thank you, Adam, for joining me. It's been a good laugh as always.
Yep.
And as we always say, from the US to the UK, namaste.
Namaste.